Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name's Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
We are going to be covering Outlander, Season 8, Episode 7, Evidence of Things Not Seen.
So we are. We have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing.
Yep.
Mostly because we may not remember stuff and we'll say, shit, I don't remember. There will be spoilers for this show. If you're not caught up with Season 8 of Outlander, you might want to be before we get too far along with this. And of course, there will be things to drink. What are you having to drink, man?
I'm having Le Blanc, which is kind of like a fizzy white wine from Trader Joe's.
Cool. How is it?
I haven't tried it yet. What are you having?
Oh, I'm having a combination of aranciada and blood orange ginger by Fever Tree, ginger beer. And I actually really like this combination. I think it's really good. I'm using it for future cocktails. So, just for what it's worth, you want to try it?
Sure. This is good too.
Okay.
But this episode is kind of split in two parts, or I say two parts, two separate storylines that we'll be following. I think the one in Savannah is probably going to take up most of our time.
Yeah.
While the one at Fraser's Ridge isn't. So we'll probably start with at least the first part of Fraser's Ridge, because there are some spoilers for the other storyline, which we will get to.
Yes, that. Definitely. So, yeah.
Okay. So we begin the episode at Fraser's Ridge. Jamie goes to King's Mountain to, like, torture himself and... get an idea of the layout, the lay of the land.
He has a free climb of the cliff face. And it's what you have seen in all of the trailers. Jamie's standing at the top of the rocky cliff face. That's what is shown here.
Yeah. Jamie and Claire are realizing that Frank's book is probably accurate. It's like, well, yes.
To some extent, sure.
Yeah, they have some weird revelations about Frank's book in these next two episodes. We'll talk about it. But so let's see. We go away for a while. So Fanny wears Faith's locket, which used to be Jane's, given to them by, obviously, their mother, Faith. And she talks to Jane's grave. She seems to do this rather often.
She talks to them. Cairn that they built.
Whatever. It's her grave, essentially, because she was in an unmarked grave elsewhere. Her cairn. I'm not going to say cairn. I'm going to say grave, just because I can write that down more easily. But she can't find this scrap of lace that she brought along with her other knickknacks that belonged to Jane, which apparently was hand woven by their grandmother in Paris. But she can't remember her grandmother's name. So she can't give Jamie and Claire any more information, because now they're like, wait, you had a grandmother that you knew? Okay, so you were given to the grandmother. And so what's the deal with that? Who was she? Where was she in Paris?
And so she was a lace maker. And so Jamie and Claire try to reconstruct. And I did want to add one of the things, and I actually wrote down a quote from Jamie from the earlier part where they're talking about Frank's book, which is rare for me, so I figure I should include it.
Okay.
Which is that he's like, he was talking about the Battle of King's Mountain being like Culloden, except only 28 patriots fell, and including Jamie. So it's like the inverse of Culloden, basically.
Yeah.
The Patriots win, but only 28 of them fall. But one of them's me.
Now it matters,
right? So, I mean, of course, if you had to guess, Jamie died at Culloden too. So, stuff. Anyway, that tells you how accurate reporting is. Fanny talks about this lace maker that is her grandmother that she stayed with in Paris.
And Jamie and Claire are like, well, do you remember that one lace maker who worked across the street from Master Raymond's? It's like, no, because you never mentioned this.
Well, and Jamie's like, I bought a veil for you there. It's like, I don't remember any freaking veil.
The funeral veil.
If they show it, like, in this, Claire going to Faith's grave thing, I don't remember her wearing a veil then. I don't you know, we've watched this show fairly recently, but you know, it's a way back thing, so they can make up whatever they want now because no one's going to remember.
She definitely was wearing a veil. But I also, there are other revelations about the whole faith thing in this episode that really grind my gears. And we will discuss. But not right this second.
Convenient, I should say.
Very convenient. So they talk to, off screen, Rachel and Ian have returned from New York with their new child and all blah, blah, blah. Rachel and Ian do not make an appearance in this episode.
No.
Except maybe at the very, very, very end of this episode. They
yeah,
do.
It's just like in passing or in the background.
But not like now. Or at least not that I recall. I didn't write them down.
No,
and so I was shocked to find that they were home. But they looked into Jane and Faith and all of that stuff. And they found the interview that Jane gave before she died to that one journalist guy.
Which is not
We anything. Knew that was going to come back.
We did, but it's not anything like what we had heard as her voiceover in that actual episode. It is quite different, and it's very...
Because it was filmed after the fact.
Okay, go ahead.
Jane mentions her grandmother got Faith from Master Raymond and was told, okay, if you don't hear back from me in, let's say, 2 weeks or something, it was some kind of arbitrary amount of time, you need to seek out Lady Brock Turek. She lives in Paris and she will be looking for this child. And also, and so the grandmother waits. Master Raymond does not return because he's banished, as we know. Mm-hmm. And she goes to find Claire at her house. But by this time, Claire and Jamie have already moved back to Scotland. And
all I'm thinking is, like, could you write a letter? You know, letters work, right?
Yeah, there are many problems with that. We'll talk. And then their family, Faith, and when she had grown up and gotten herself a husband who's the sea captain and had her two girls, finally heard about Claire somehow.
Oh, you're skipping one of the most convenient plot points of all, which is that Master Raymond sang the special song.
No, that's at the end of the episode. So they found out somehow by osmosis that Claire was here. This is presumably after Claire has returned after 20 years? 20 yeah. years because of Brianna's age. Mm-hmm. And so they are like, oh, they heard about them in the Americas. So they got in a boat and were going over there when they were attacked by those smugglers / sex traffickers / whatever.
Pirates.
Yes, pirates. And that's when everything went to shit. So that's not good, but they do have that information.
Which clearly was, like, you know, a long time before now. So because she spent, what, 10 years living in a brothel, Fanny did. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's like at least 10 years ago. And it's kind of bizarre. Like,
well, time must have passed for Jemmy to grow up. So I was assuming she's a little bit older than Jemmy, maybe.
Yeah.
But I think that that's about around the same time, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was assuming.
There's a lot that goes unexplained and or conveniently forgotten.
Yeah, that's Outlander Mom. Mm-hmm. Claire shows Fanny the notes that the journalist took of Jane's statement, and Claire and Jamie are basically like, okay, well, we're your grandparents. We really wanted to find Faith, but then we weren't able to. And
we didn't know you existed, blah, 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 basically.
And as far as Fanny is known, like, nothing good came from her actual biological grandparents, because when they, as far as she knows, they never went looking for Faith. And then when they went to go find them, their lives turned upside down and for the worst. And so I can understand why it's taking a minute for her to process this regardless.
But basically she doesn't like run and hug them. She's like, I gotta go.
I need time.
Yeah.
I need to process this. So Fanny We'll talk about the rest when we get to the other section. However, we will discuss the flashback now. So in Paris, 1744, at the very end of this episode, because they had to make sense of this somehow,
This absurdity that
we
it's.
see Master Raymond give faith to the lace maker, and Raymond, well, I don't know why I said his name like that. Master Raymond, he must have heard Claire sing the song once to Faith, and
Because we
then
hadn't, other than in the context of that one, like, very brief thing that you see in season three, you never hear her sing. It's not like the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy thing, where you
no,
hear it all
but
the time.
Raymond must have picked it up from Claire
With all the verses.
and sang the song to the lace maker as, oh, this seems to have calmed the baby down
Claire,
once when she
Claire liked
was
it.
seemingly dead. And so you should try that. And so it carried on through the generations. Okay, so essentially what he says when he's dropping this baby off to this poor lace maker who clearly wanted a child, he was like, hey, her mother's very, very sick. I don't know why they need to give this baby to another woman just because the mother is sick.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, if she's a wet nurse or something, but that's
She's
not
not. She's a
right. There's
lace maker.
nothing that would suggest that in any of this narrative.
There is no reason to keep the baby from Claire. Zero.
None.
Absolutely none. It's not like he was like, I think the baby's in danger or something.
Well, what he says is the mother is sick and the father's in prison and she needs some place to
Wait
stay.
for the mother to die before you actually hand the baby off to somebody.
Well, right. Or, make it clear, like, where Claire is. Like, she's at the hospital with, the nun and, like,
Also, that woman, the lace maker, as he ha said himself, never had children. How is she more prepared for this than you are, Master Raymond, to take care of this baby? Or leave the baby at the hospital
right. I
with
mean,
the mother. That
right.
makes
Or
no
if the
sense.
nun has asked you, like, to, find somebody to care for the baby in the interim, you still, like, tell the caretaker, hey, the mom is at the hospital, blah, blah, blah.
And then also, the nuns must have known that the baby was alive. And
Right.
so when Claire's screaming, "Where's my baby?" and they're not answering her and making it sound like the baby's dead and told her the baby wasn't breathing or dead or whatever they told her,
Yeah,
that's
because, well,
just a lie.
it's also, there's so much off-screen time too. Like, when these conversations are happening, like, when she's calmed down and not screaming anymore, you could still have a conversation saying, hey, we had somebody take care of her, blah, blah, blah. Nothing. Nothing. Or
Absolutely
Master Raymond took
ridiculous.
her, or something, but no, nothing. We have a bunch of liars on this show, and it is really annoying.
It's very aggravating. And I think the thing is, they wanted it to be a part of this narrative so badly. And they set it up at the end of the last season for a reason, that they wanted it to be all full circle and blah, 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 blah,
We're
blah.
going to tie up all the loose ends, except, having Faith die is not a loose end. I mean, that's a definite
If Faith came
reality,
back, that would be something else.
right? But it is not a loose end. Not everybody has to be related. I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing as like a Star Wars thing of just like, not everyone needs to be related to a Skywalker. Not everyone needs to be related to Jamie and Claire. I'm just saying.
It makes things extra weird for the concept of William and Jane. So just.
Well, and that's, I mentioned that back at the end of season seven,
You
but
did.
I, it, what par partially what I wanted was for it to turn out not to be their faith and
Right.
for them just to be like, oh, well, no, we did suffer that loss and we need to accept that even with this part of hope or whatever.
Well, so this is part of the reason I feel like it's so contrived, is because very clearly Jane was not a redhead until, like, the last part of the last episode of season seven. It's like, why is she suddenly a redhead? Oh, wait, she's got to be related to Jamie and Claire. This is idiotic bullshit. It is. And that's part of the reason we have so many gingers that we are expressing through alcohol in this season, because it's just so contrived.
Yeah, it's annoying. But yeah, that's the Faith subplot. Meanwhile, in Savannah, Fergus shows his boys how printing works. It's
Oh,
very cute.
it's very cute.
He also tells them specifically the kid, his child with dwarfism, Christian, that it's okay to be different because, I mean, again, he has a wooden hand, like he is different,
Yeah.
and he can
I thought it
relate
was
to that.
metal, but
And
still.
what?
I thought it was a metal hand, but still.
It's wooden or something. I don't know. Metal hand, you're thinking of Game of Thrones. But it's nice to see how far those two in particular have come, where he has such a close relationship with Christian when things start out so rocky after Christian's birth
Yeah.
and him contemplating suicide and all that stuff and even attempting. Not Christian, but Fergus.
Yeah.
But I love to see that they are super close now, and Christian's so
He
cute,
is
and
adorable.
all of them are just so
All
happy and doing
adorable.
great.
So
So,
they're getting like threatening notes and stuff at the print shop.
but they make fun of it because they get it so often that it's like whatever. This one's about burning the house down and never seeing your children again. It's like
Well,
okay.
Marcely's a little more nervous about it because she had people like taunting her at the market that
And
day.
throwing a tomato at her.
Yeah.
But before we get to more of that, we must talk about William.
Which is what Natalie really wants to talk about.
We've done William first.
Oh, okay.
It,
Fine. We'll switch
no,
to William. We're
it's
going to
fine.
come back around. We'll come back around.
We'll just go back and forth. We'll volley back and forth. It's fine. So William confronts Amaranthus about this bullshit about Ben being alive. And I love that Ben's alive. I love the drama.
Yeah.
But he is very upset at Amaranthus because, as Ben told him, she knew and suggested it.
And she admits that.
Yeah, she says she tried to dissuade Ben from becoming a rebel, and she thinks Ben didn't care enough about her to not become a rebel.
This is the most idiotic bullshit ever.
And like, what part of her really cares about the British monarchy is what I'm curious about.
Like, you've
Like,
grown
do
up
you
in
care that if
Philadelphia.
I'm sorry, but if you've ca cared about this person and loved this person, their beliefs are, have changed. And not to say that this is true in every circumstance, but if their beliefs have been shaken and changed for a reason that they tell you, and then you start, and then you immediately go like, no. It, like, that's one thing. But she immediately is just like, well, fake your own death and don't be a part of me. I'm going to figure things out on my own.
I will take care of our child. Like it and then the level of lying she goes into, and the fact that she told Ben that she was going to go to Lord John Grey and put forward this fake story. It's just insane to me.
And here's the other thing of like, I suppose she was concerned for their family's security as far as finances are concerned because of the, like, if he was disowned and all that
No,
stuff.
no, no. I see. Here's the thing. I think she's still in on it in a way. Like she does. Like she and Ben are not really, not in love anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, there's another conversation that's weird later, which I guess we'll talk about. Or well, she says she likes William because you possibly wouldn't avoid com you would avoid conflict. And he's just like, well, you're just wrong. And
Yeah, that's actually not a me thing.
Amaranthus also says she might still love Ben, but she says that, well, our plans to get married don't have to change. And William's like, what are you talking about? Of course they have to change.
I'm not going to marry you because you're married.
To my cousin.
Yeah.
And William then tells Lord John Grey about Ben being alive, but not that Amaranthus knew. Amaranthus immediately, and this is just weird writing, Amaranthus immediately comes forward and is like, oh no, actually, I'm going to tell you the truth. And it's like, oh, now you're going to tell us the truth? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, seems unlikely, doesn't it?
It's really bizarre. So Brianna and Marcelly talk about how Fergus does not want to take the deal with him being the heir of Sa
Saint Germain.
Saint-Germain and all that shit. But Brianna and Roger also have a deal to get the guns and bring them to the ridge, so everything will be totally fine. This is when the tomatoes are thrown at Marcelly at the market. Meanwhile, Amaranthus gets very defensive after she tells has talked to Lord John Grey. And Lord John Grey calls her out for lying for a fortune.
Yeah, which
because
is a
that
fact.
Is essentially what she was doing. She was
essentially, it is what she was doing.
What she was doing was she was concerned that, oh, well, if you become a rebel, Ben, then you're going to get disowned and you're not going to get any inheritance and we're not going to have any security, which she herself said, oh, I don't care about titles. It's like, yes, you fucking do.
Well, and I don't, you know, like, I grew up the child of a bookseller. It's like, okay. So
then you can do that again and it wouldn't, it shouldn't bother you.
Right, exactly.
So Aerith, this is a walking contradiction.
She's, call it what it is, liar. She's not just a contradiction. She's a liar.
Anyway, and Lord John Grey reminds William that her husband is alive and William is sick of people deceiving him. And so he storms off. Fergus finds the threatening note on their door and they are just kind of laughing it off.
Yeah.
And then him and Marsley have sex.
Well, right. So one of the things that was kind of a cute way that Fergus would deal with it is he's like, let's put it in the jar with the others. And I guess they would pull out the notes and like make fun of them and rank them as to how stupid they were and how misspelled
like
they
that.
were. And
that's funny.
Like, these people are losers and that kind of thing, which I think is really great.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, Bouchon pulls up to LJG and tells him Richardson is on his way to Savannah. And this is confirmed. They are stepbrothers. Craziness. Why did they do this? They didn't have to. They just did. They could have just been friends from before.
Because everyone's related in Outlander.
They don't need to be. Bouchon reminds Lord John Grey about the fact that they had sex. Bouchon. Whatever, Mom. Beach him. He reminds Lord John Grey about the fact that they have had sex before, which is painfully obvious. Like, come on, man. Of course. We see the sizzling tension.
Yeah, don't you love me? Or don't you want to have sex with me some more? And
they kiss. William sees and gets mad and mentions the Ardsmuir stuff of like, oh, so you and Jamie were probably fucking too. And it's just like that. And Lord John Grey's like,
did you take
no.
advantage of him?
Not
managed my father too. What's up with you? Like, he's very, he just feels so betrayed on every level.
Which I thought he was aware of this, but I guess he
the
wasn't.
Thing?
No, not that, but the
of the gang. Yeah.
Yeah, the gang. The fact that Lord John Grey is gay. Like, it's,
I guess, yeah, I mean, it could be a secret that people keep. I mean, it, you know,
I always
live in their own home. No.
Well, of course, yes. But I also think that Lord John Grey, at a certain point, like, it becomes rather obvious.
Yeah, but, you know, he's also, like, off doing Lord John Grey things a lot. I mean, you get the sense that they've been separated a fair bit and not staying with each other. So it may be something that he's been able to engage, you know, like, have relationships with people, and William's just completely been oblivious.
I wouldn't put it past William to be oblivious.
William is not a guy with gaydar. He just is. He's just not. He's not that guy. He doesn't have like dar of any kind. He'll lie or any kind of radar.
You know who has really good gaydar? Claire.
Claire does, but who else does? Is Brianna.
Brianna too. It's a genetic trait, I think.
Yeah, it could be.
I think that
it comes down that line.
It's from that side of the family. Jamie, it took way too long.
Yeah,
it took him putting a hand on your thigh for you to realize this man is gay. I mean, the signs were there, my man. The signs were there.
Like Jamie, who has been the recipient of really inappropriate.
Yeah, no,
advances.
That is inappropriate, but I also
but,
think...
like, really, I'm talking about Black Jack Randall.
Oh, yes. I didn't even think about that, yeah.
Awareness. I mean, he has, like...
mistrust as well.
Well, he has the personal safety stuff. Like, you know, if someone's going to be violent with him or touch him, he's fairly aware of that.
Mm.
Sexual, not so much.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Oh, our sweet little teddy bear. He does not know what's going on. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's very funny that...
Are you
like,
talking about William now? Not knowing what's going on?
Oh, I was referring to Jamie. But yeah, also William. Because that goes down that line. Because Claire did not have anything to do with the making of that baby. Mm-hmm. So, of course, the gaydar gene did not follow.
Yeah, of course, Jamie did pick up on the women being interested in him.
Yes, that's rather obvious. And it's like, oh, I'm
All
straight.
of
I
them.
only recognize that. But it's just
Yeah, I guess
like,
that's
you can
true.
be straight and have good gaydar, like Brianna does and Claire
I don't.
does.
I don't.
It's getting more, I don't know. I don't know if I do. I think I do just because I've done theater for so long. I have a little bit better gaydar, but again, obviously there are certain people who just don't give off the vibe, and that's fine. You are who you are. It's fine. So it's a little harder to read. I luckily do not have any issue or like having to be like, well, do they like me? Because I'm not gay. So it's like, I don't have to like figure out the gaydar as quickly as other people, I suppose. But it,
Whatever.
well, even gay people sometimes don't have really good gaydar, but that's not the point. So yeah, William gets so angry and calls him a sodomite. And it's like, okay, man,
We
that's
don't need
still
to be
your
calling
dad.
names.
That is
It's
still
your
your dad.
dad. He's taking care of you well for a
Which is something
long
they have reminded him of several times, and he still isn't thinking about
Well, and
that.
LJG calls him and he's like, I would like a little gratitude out of you. Like, yeah, you didn't know who your biological father was, but I've done a lot for you.
I didn't have
Jamie's
to do
done
any
a
of
lot
this.
for you. People have done a lot for you, and you are like an ungrateful little whiny bitch.
Yes, I think the thing is that it came at the wrong time, much like a lot of the things William
He's been
does.
in a really
He's had a
bad
really rough couple of weeks.
year. I mean, it's
Oh yeah,
ridiculous.
at
Jamie's done
year.
the things. It's been bad.
He found out about his
From the
parentage, he
beginning.
lost Jane, and then
He had
he
this sister that he like, what the fuck is this?
Oh
He
yeah,
had this,
Brianna, and
yeah.
then you've got Amaranthus, and then you've got Ben, and then you've got Lord John Grey,
Well,
and
sorry, and like you've already like discovered that Lord John Grey really isn't your dad, and now he is not even he wasn't even like the
things you thought you knew about him weren't are
he
not
like
true.
you thought he was in love with the woman you thought was your mother.
That's so true.
It's like he has this whole like everything's been pulled out from under him, and he's just
He does not
lost.
mention his mother once, and
It's
I was
disappointing.
just thinking about this of like they're so he's so mad about like everything and everyone who is alive right now. And not to say that his mother is to blame for any of this. Obviously, we've seen the flashbacks. His mother was great. His mother was very sweet. But I think the thing is, it's like he doesn't put any blame at her door, which is fine. But he also doesn't bring up, okay, so what were you and mother doing? Like, why did you marry her? What was that about?
Yeah, there's no discussion about
He
any of that.
automatically goes to, you fucked Jamie. It's like, okay, but like, what about your mom though?
Well, I think he's one of those people with no filter. So, in other words, his first thought is going to come out of his mouth. Whereas, a lot of us might have that as a first thought. But it wouldn't necessarily come out of our mouths. There would be other things that would come up first, like, and it wouldn't be sodomite.
Absolutely
It would be
not.
things like,
But what about my
what? Yeah,
mother?
what about my mother? What? I can't deal with this. What is happening here?
Give me some space to breathe.
Which is why Franny or Fanny is such a good example. Like, I gotta
I
go.
need some space.
I gotta go. And of course, one of the
Learning
things.
very different things about different people.
I'm not sure that Fanny says it in this episode. I'm not looking at my notes really at all. But I think she says, like, when Jamie and Claire come back to her, she's like, it just means you're going to leave me.
Yeah.
Because everyone that I've ever loved and has ever been my family
Has left
dies and
me.
they leave me. And I can't, I will end up going back to being a prostitute.
And knowingly or not, they left Faith. And so she in her heart of hearts knows that this is just a continuing cycle with her family. Like Jane was left by un unwillingly by William in her time of most need of like when she was getting arrested, William could have at least like tried to fight them off or like something. She w has never felt protected by anybody. And so it's hard for her to
Other than
accept
Jane. Jane's the only
other than
one.
Jane. And Jane left her unwillingly. A lot of it, a majority of it is unwillingly. And so actually all of it is, but regardless,
It
it's
doesn't
hard
change the
for her
fact that it's a
not to
loss.
see
It's
it
just
that
loss,
way.
loss, 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 loss for
And
her.
she just feels incomplete, and I feel really bad for her. I like Fanny.
Yeah. I think we all do.
So meanwhile at the print shop, they are all asleep and it is caught on fire. It is unclear what the beginnings of this fire were, but not good.
Because, of course, anything involving a print shop, you've got all of these flammable materials, which we have seen previously in season 3.
Yeah. So Fergus and Marsley, they wake up and they get some of the kids out, but they can't find their two boys. They're up on the roof because they like to look at the stars. So Fergus goes up to the roof, finds them, and are like, okay, game plan. There's a like well bucket kind of weird
like
rope
wind,
thing.
Like they would, you know, like use to maybe haul
hoist
wind.
Things up.
Yeah.
So he gets the two boys onto the winch and lower them down. Christian falls, but thankfully Roger catches him.
Yeah.
And then everyone else is safe on the ground. Fergus is the only one up there. He's about to go for the rope.
Right, he smiles and he's waving like,
he's like, we did it! Marcelly, we're fine! And then he goes for the rope, but the boards underneath him and the roof have caught on fire and it flames through. He collapses.
And we don't see him again.
And we don't never see him again. He is
dead. And just the performance, Marcelly's performance.
Oh, she breaks my heart.
I mean, she's been fabulous before. We've seen this with her before, you know, going through, you know, tragedy and crying and all this stuff. Her performance with this is amazing. So, like, she's great in the moment. She shows, you know, the fear of going to sleep. Like, she can't, you know, Brianna and Roger take her back to Lord John Grey's with the kids. Mm-hmm. And she can't leave the room. I mean, they've got four kids. She can't fit in the bed with them, but she's going to sleep on the floor because she just can't.
And she can't fall asleep and
be away from them. She just can't. And Brianna ends up holding her. And what she says is, I don't know where I stop and he begins anymore. I don't know how I can.
Their lives are so intertwined.
Yeah.
From such a young age, too. Like, they were, like, in their teens when they started courting or whatever.
Oh,
and
so sad.
They knew, probably even before that, they probably knew each other for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Before Jamie and Claire were even aware of them.
Yeah.
And
probably Leary was giving them shit.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And so they, because Fergus grew up at Castle, not Castle Leoch, sorry, Lallybroch.
Lallybroch.
And so they were in such close proximity. How could they not? But she feels so empty with that part of her gone. And it's the other aspect of it being the way he died and not having a body to bury and just having pieces, and maybe not even having pieces of him. He's just ash, and it's just haunting.
Just
and it's so, so sad. And what I love about this performance is it isn't, here's the thing, there are many ways you can show grief on screen. A lot of the times a dramatic show will go for the screaming, crying, yelling and all of the dramatics and all that stuff. But what I like about this part, which they have done that with Outlander before, they did it with Jamie's fake death in season 7, which again, however you grieve, you grieve, you grieve, and that's fine and whatever.
Well, it might be different at different times.
And under different circumstances, sure.
Yeah.
When it happens in front of your face, it might be a little bit different to process as it was with anything else, like just hearing about it via letter or something like that. So they essentially, sorry, that was our landline.
sorry about that.
Yes, there are people who still have landlines, crazily enough. But essentially what this does is it's a quiet, just numbness, and I really like that. And there are moments for her to cry later on, obviously, but what I love about it is that it's not overly dramatic, it's not overly anything, it's just
there's
a woman
so much
processing what just happened, literally the night of it happening, probably just hours after, watching her kids sleep, knowing that they've lost their father, that you have lost your partner and your one of the loves of your life,
and what are you going to do now?
Yeah, what
I mean,
now?
Right, and she's kind of collapsing and she's crumbling inside. And it's the kind of thing, like, we've talked about Love Actually and Emma Thompson's performance in the bedroom when she's realizing, like, everything I thought was, you know, everything I planned for is just gone. And I like the fact, because we have so much grief in this episode. We have Fanny processing grief and we have William processing grief. And now we have, you know, like this is real grief what was
Yeah.
happening for Marcelly
A
and her
grief you should
kids,
never feel.
right? And it is, you know, there are all kinds of different holes in grief and things like that, but you know, this is a big one. This is probably as big as it gets. And so
Yeah. Also, Brianna and Roger, they are also processing it because they were also present.
right.
And they need to be there for they're essentially siblings.
Yeah. Because
And
Fergus was an adopted
yeah,
brother, so yeah.
exactly. So Brianna, as much as she is comforting Marcella, she's also grieving herself and not only feeling empathetic, but also feeling
The
the
loss.
loss of her adopted brother,
Yeah.
who she did spend time with on the ridge, years with on the ridge. So they knew each
She and
other.
Marcella are close, so
Oh,
it's
they're
like
so close.
it's yeah.
So whatever, it's kind of like a soul sister kind of thing of like
Yeah.
you're what you feel, what they feel. And there's also a moment where Jamie feels the loss and where
Magically
he
wakes
wakes
up
up
in
in
the
the
middle of
middle
the
of the middle of the
night.
night. And I'm just like, okay, man, you didn't have to do that. They could have just found out later. But essentially, Brianna asks Roger, hey, what would happen if I died? And would you stay here or would you go back with the kids to the future? And he's just like, I don't know. I probably would stay here
This is
because this
what.
is where family is.
Right. And
And
I, you know, there were a couple of things I thought about with this too. Like when she says that, I'm just want to point this out because there's a thing that happened several seasons ago. Jocasta, who is Jamie's aunt, had made all these bequests, including one to Marcelly and Fergus. And you know, the Jemmy, who's the grandchild, Brianna and
The first
Roger's the
grandchild.
first grandchild, is supposed to inherit the plantation. We have not heard another single word
We haven't heard about
about any of it.
Jocasta at all.
No. Although she died, we know that.
Yes, I do re vaguely recall
But
that
so
she
there's this
died. I don't remember
plantation.
when she died.
It was sometime after,
Was it season
I think it was
six?
season six.
Well, season six, Murtaugh died.
Yeah, I think it was after Murtaugh died. But
I
anyway.
guess so. I don't really remember. I don't
I
remember them
thought she
making a
died. Maybe
big deal
I'm
out.
wrong. I don't know,
I
but
don't remember them making a big deal about it. I feel like
no
we
one
just
is
stopped seeing
talking.
Jocasta after Murtaugh died.
Yeah, I mean, we're not seeing any kind of anything about this plantation that these kids were set to inherit. So it just seems really strange. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's bizarre. Brianna also tells Roger, oh yeah, by the way, I'm pregnant. And it's just because we've seen them have sex on screen, which means they're pregnant.
Was a nice little scene.
No, I'm not saying that at all, but it's just, and it is a theme with Outlander of like, all right, you've had sex on screen, you're young, and you're in a couple, you're probably pregnant.
Yeah.
Because that's how that works.
And that is foreshadowing for things to come.
Yeah. So meanwhile, they return back to the ridge. Well, essentially what Marcelly is at this point, she's like, I have no idea what I'm gonna do. And Brianna's like, well, you could
Come
reopen
back
the
to the ridge with
print
us.
shop, you could come back to the ridge, like, what do you want to do? And she's like, you know what, I might take that money that Fergus would have gotten for the inheritance, because at this point our oldest, I forget what their oldest name is, but they would inherit that as well. And so she's considering taking that offer to get some money for them, because at
But
this point they don't have any income coming in.
Brianna just says, look, come back to the ridge with us. We'll work it out. You get some advice from Da, and you know, things are gonna work themselves out. So they get back to the ridge, and Claire and Jamie are like working in the yard or something, and they see them and they're like, ah, but where's Fergus?
And then Marcelly breaks down and they reveal everything, and it's very, very sad.
And
And
then they have this Fergus retrospective that is heartbreaking. It's so
that hurt so
awful. It's
much.
awful. It's
That
just
hurts so
awful.
much. Jamie is making his coffin,
Yes, it's just
and
awful.
he has these flashbacks to when he was a baby, not a baby, a kid.
Yeah.
And we saw him being so precocious. So cute.
Yeah.
And then we see him like over the years and growing with Marcelly, and oh, it's just so sweet, and oh, it's so sad.
But we also see like when Jamie's like this, his last name is Fraser, when they get married in Jamaica or whatever in the islands, and it's just very, very sweet. And so at the end of the episode, Fanny takes Jamie and she has built a cairn for Fergus. And it's very, very sweet.
That's very sweet, yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Yep, that's it.
Hi.
All right, best parts. Fergus and Marsley, I think they're very sweet and it's very sad. Brianna. Brianna is very, very strong for Marsley. I really like Brianna in this episode. Revelations to Fanny. I like that we have gotten the revelations over with so that we don't have, it's not like leaving it to the last minute. It's just happening now. And it's like, all right, well, at least you've now told Fanny now that you know. And it's like, okay, great. And Fanny, I love that she built the cairn. I love that she recognized that even though she is still processing who these people are to her, she calls him Granddad as well. She is still so compassionate and empathetic to what they're going through that she is like, well, this is what helps me through my grief. Here's what I do. I go to the cairn that you made for Jane. And so she's returning the kindness, and it's
Yeah,
very sweet. I
it
love
is.
Fanny.
Yeah, Fanny really is great, and she's really coming into her own as a character. So I have the same things. Brianna and Marcelly, I think the two of them and their performances are excellent. Fanny's performance, I think, is great, and Fergus and Marcelly, just the two of them are so sweet together and funny. And we've always liked them together, and they they're getting screen time, and it's so promising, and yet this is what we get. So it's sad.
I did know going into this season because
You told
we,
me.
well, not only that, I saw it on Facebook.
Thank you, Facebook.
And apparently, and this is just speculation, or not speculation, this is what I've heard through Facebook. Diana Gabaldon, in the final book that she wrote for Outlander, did not kill Fergus off. And
Oh,
that was a
man.
show decision.
People show a decision. Bad, bad show.
I don't like it, but I also. I'm curious, like, why they made that decision. I feel like what they were thinking is, like, well, we never have stakes, so let's get rid of one of the characters we're bringing back. It's like, okay, sure.
I
Why
guess.
him?
I don't know.
Because I guess the least amount of stakes.
I don't know. I mean, they bring up Saint-Germain, which is completely unnecessary. I don't know. I don't know. It's just very sad.
Yeah, I feel like if I had watched this. As it was coming out, and I didn't know about Fergus dying, and I had watched this episode, I would be in shock that they finally actually did something with one of the main characters, or who was once one of the main characters. I still think it's a cop out death, though, because personally, like, if they had done this with somebody other than Fergus and Marsley, like someone who has been there for like their longevity, like they have been
Lord
there
John
for.
Grey.
If they did it with Lord John Grey, I would also feel like that. I feel not like Fergus and Marsley, but like he would be a step up as far as like how much I would feel of like, oh my God, they did that. But I mean, obviously, they're trying to angle for the whole. I think what they're doing is setting us up for, well, at least someone died this season, even though we've been like teasing Jamie
So it's like a
dying.
Stranger Things final season kind of thing. Like, yeah, we're not really having stakes, but we're kind of having stakes.
Where
We're gonna kill one person.
Fergus is the collie of this situation, and we will talk about Stranger Things eventually.
Someday.
But
Okay, what were your worst parts? Let's move on.
Amaranthus, the fuck? Like you saying in the same breath that yeah, I still love Ben, but we can still make this like marriage proposal work. No.
You're basically telling William, I fucked you for no reason. What kind of this poor kid? I feel so bad for him. Like, he's a hot guy.
You
Don't
can't
treat him like
escape
that.
these crazy people.
It's so sad.
He
He's
can't escape it.
awful.
He can't escape his relatives and these crazy people.
It's so sad.
No,
That's
his
it.
relatives, just period, end of sentence. These are like his in-laws everywhere.
It's bad. It's bad.
Then weird that they are stepbrothers. So Beecham and Lord
Lord
John
John.
Grey being stepbrothers. There was a moment where you gaslit me into thinking that they weren't, but I knew in my gut they were because I remember that one thing being revealed because Beecham showed up,
See, I
like,
thought they were
maybe
brothers-in-law, which is still weird, but
still
like,
weird, but like less, but
it's still bad.
it's still weird. But what I remember from Beecham's tenure on the show.
tenure
being a very generous term. But what I remembered from him in season 7, part 2, was he was at the dinner with Lafayette and George Washington and all them.
And he's trying to recruit Claire.
Trying to recruit Claire. Then later on, he comes in to tell Lord John Grey about Richardson selling William out and being like, remember that we were stepbrothers and we fucked that one time? It's like, or multiple times. And it's just like, what? Stepbrothers? I remember the aspect that they were stepbrothers. And they mentioned that at their parents' wedding is when they fucked for the first time.
That's wild. Anyway.
So that was confirmed. I hate that. Fergus dying. Hate that. I love. Here's the thing. If you were going to have Fergus die, you probably should have just left it at season 6 when he had that suicide attempt. And you could have just like had Marsley be like, all right, well, I'm going to take the kids and we're going to process this elsewhere. And not that I wanted him to go through with all of that stuff or like achieve
Marsley
that
as a character, you know, because she's pretty great. I don't know. Because if she does that, why would she be around still?
They find a way, like much like they did, and like they left her for a whole, like basically what would be 2 seasons. They left her and Fergus off screen and then brought her back in this season. They could have done the same thing.
Whatever.
But I, in general, yeah, that's what I think. And then patchwork bullshit. Patchwork bullshit meaning all the faith stuff. Of like them being like, well, we're using some, like, what is it? Like, plexi tape or, like, flex tape? And we're putting it over the fish tank so that no water's coming up. And so much water's coming out.
You're talking about duct tape. Duct tape.
Well, no, I was thinking specifically that, like, that weird infomercial.
Well, that doesn't work. The tape that doesn't work is what you're talking about.
Sure. Flex tape, I think, is what it's called. But I, just in general, I think that them trying to make faith happen is really bizarre.
That's just gonna happen.
It's just not gonna happen. Like, you can try and try and try and try to be like, oh well, he taught them the song even though he wasn't in the room when she sang it, and also even though Claire saw the baby blue and not breathing and she's a doctor, she didn't know the baby was dead. And also, these nurses who were helping her through the birth of this child didn't know the baby was alive and thought that she was dead, or at least that's what they're trying to convey now, I guess. And so also, when Master Raymond dropped the baby off, he had the contingency of, like, if I don't come back, which I don't know why he would have that. Maybe because they were rounding up, like, witch doctors and whatever. But I, still, like, the whole thing, like, leading
That's
up to that,
scary.
And him not leaving the child alone is so bizarre to me.
Let's add the added element of then you know, you leave saying, hey, find Lady Brock Turok, and supposedly she does. The only way we know that is that somehow that was conveyed to Faith when she was older, and then Faith told that whole story to Jane.
Well,
there is so much word of mouth bullshit that can have been completely misconstrued, made up, horseshit. I mean, it's dumb.
Yes, but I also think that is something that they would tell her of, like, well, you don't have a husband, so how did I come to be? And it's like, all right, that could be a conversation between her and Faith.
You know, you don't have to go into this whole lengthy Lady Brock Turok crap unless you could make that up. Like, what if she was like one of the people who worked in their house, in Jimmy and Claire's house?
Just in general, I think it's a dumb idea for her to be alive. It's not that I didn't want her to live. And obviously in season 2, we didn't want her to be miscarried and stillborn. But I think that also, again, lessens the impact of their loss, because they still felt the loss, but now they're like, haha, nope,
no.
Here's the baby. It's like, okay, well, so all of that grief, all of that time was basically just a waste of fucking time that they could have spent with their child. So why aren't they more mad? Like, I'm just confused. Like, they're heartbroken that Faith is dead and they can't have more time with Faith. Yes, But they are also not mad enough at Master Raymond for pulling this bullshit.
Yes, and this whole Master Raymond backfill sounds to me, and this is what I'm supposed to, so I'm just rambling at this point. This whole backfill with him sounds more like Claire giving him a nice out, you know,
yeah.
as opposed to
what it is,
which is I stole your baby
and then I gave it to this lace maker and was like, well, we're borrowing the baby. We'll bring her back. You were sick. It's like, no, you healed her and then you need to give her her baby back.
Yeah, that's just dumb. Anyway, so then we have, what other worst parts do you have?
Oh, that was all I wrote down.
Okay, you missed a big one, but okay. I will mention, yes, of course, Amaranthus is a bad part. I didn't write down Fergus's death just because it's so obviously a horrible thing and, you know, it's awful. You missed the William fighting with Lord John Grey.
Oh, so, my God, the whole like, thought of my bullshit. Yes, I'm so sorry.
That is
William
so
being
bad.
Homophobic.
It's not the being homophobic. I mean, that
it
that
is being homophobic.
No, I'm not saying he's not, but it's not that bothers me as much. I mean, like in that time period, that might be actually a thing. His reaction,
yes, it was obviously
well, right. I mean, you know, that might actually be a thing, and you know, his reaction to it is way too much, especially for somebody that you have loved and cared for as long as you have loved and cared for Lord John Grey, and depended on him, and all these other things. So that the level of reaction is ridiculous. But the thing that bugs me the most is what a selfish little spoiled brat he still is. Like, why are you still like, it's all about you, you fucking dickhead. Anyway, well, so what grade did you give this episode?
Well, let me just really counter that really very, very quickly.
Hmm.
The whole, not like in defense of William or anything.
Okay, good.
But I would also like to say of like, the show loves to do this with characters like, with Brianna and William in particular, where they give them a reason to be upset. Hence, like, they've been lied to their entire lives and they're finding out their parentage right now. Or there's something crazy has happened, but then, oh, this other thing has been brought to their attention and then they freak the fuck out about it.
Mm-hmm.
They try to justify all of that while also making them look bad. And I think that William finding out about Ben and like Amaranthus fucking him and like literally and figuratively fucking him and like doing all that shit and fucking with his head and all that stuff. He's still processing that, sees his adopted father making out with a guy and then flies off the handle. I'm not saying that how he reacted is excused by any means. It is not. But I also am like, all right, well, they're doing the same thing as like what they did with Brianna when she found out about like, she even mentioned it this season, like in a joking manner of like, oh yeah, I told my mom I wish she was dead.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, and she's like, sound familiar? We have the same father. It's like,
yeah, it's like we both have horrible tempers. And I think that that's part of it. It's like,
yeah.
You know, it is understandable the level of emotional rawness.
And there's just more secrets being uncovered.
Well, what I mean is like they're already raw and then this additional thing is piled on.
Oh,
it's like,
another
oh,
thing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Here's another thing you didn't know about your father or yourself.
What grade did you give this episode?
I gave it a B minus.
I gave it a B plus. And I think I gave
a B
it
B plus.
I did. And so or
I might bump it up to a B, maybe.
I gave it a B plus. So the reason for that is that as like stuff happening,
yeah,
and that's like semi-logical and closing up, you know, like I don't want to spend any more time on Master Raymond and I'm really hoping that we're not going to. So like getting rid of the things I think that are bullshit, even if they do it in a bullshit way, like I don't want to hear about it anymore. So
there's still something, yeah. It is closing a chapter. And I think that's something
happy.
That the final
getting rid of,
is doing pretty well.
Yeah, and getting rid of Amaranthus. Good.
I don't
want to ever hear about
rid of her. That's the problem.
I want
they
to
had,
get rid of
no,
her.
No, but here's the thing. They had her confess to Lord John Grey. So it's like, okay, well, maybe she's redeemable. It's like,
no.
No.
She's horrible. So
I'll upgrade it to a B.
Okay. All right. Good. We have more to come. And we are looking forward to actually sharing it with you. I know that sounds surprising, but you know, we're getting through the end of Outlander, so we've got to get excited. We hope that you join us. And
cheers. Cheers.